We're live.
Evening, everyone. I'd like to call the November the 9th, 2020 meeting of the University City City Council to order. To the citizens who are watching us, I apologize that we're starting a few minutes late. Our study session went slightly over. I think as you folks will note who are both watching it, of course, my colleagues on the City Council will recognize that we have Ms. Reese back with us. We are glad to have you with us. Thank you for being back. We appreciate all that you've been through, and we love having you back on these meetings with us. Ms. Reese, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Clay.
Present.
Councilmember Klein.
Here.
Councilmember McMahon.
Here.
Councilmember Hills.
Here.
Councilmember Cusick.
Here.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Here.
Mayor Crowe.
Here. Thank you very much. And before us, you have the agenda. And during the study session, the city manager had asked us to move items number J2 and J3 from the consent agenda to the city manager's report. Is there a motion to amend the agenda as suggested? Motion made by Mr. Smotherson, seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. We do not have any proclamations, nor do we have minutes to approve at this time. I'll now move to boards and commissions. Ms. Klein.
Yes, I would like to nominate Tori Gonzalez to the Plan Commission, and I would like to nominate Cindy Zwiris to the library board.
Thank you. We'll do these one at a time just in case there's a question, or even though that has typically not been the case. If we can take Ms. Gonzalez first, is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Cusick. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have. We also have Ms. Klein nominated Ms. Zerwis to the library board. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Cusick. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. As mayor, as you will recall, I am required to make all appointments to the Loop Special Business District Board. I have nominated Derek Deaver to that board. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Cusick. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. We have no swearing ins at this time. I'd like to take this moment to thank our citizens for the comments that they have provided to the city clerk ahead of time, both on agenda items and on non-agenda items. All members of council received those comments today. So we appreciate, again, your participation in this process as we move through the COVID protocol that we are operating under. Tonight, we do not have any public hearings, so we will move to the consent agenda, where you have two items on the consent agenda, which are J1 and J4. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda? Motion by Ms. Klein. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Clay. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council members, this first item asks Council to consider a mowing contract agreement. I am recommending approval of the grounds maintenance service contract to the lowest responsible bidder, Muni Green Care Professionals, for the base bid and alternatives in the amount of $69,050. Mr. Dunkel, I believe, is on to present this item. Mr. Dunkel.
Thank you, Mr. Rose, Mayor Crow, members of Council. Over the past year and a half that I've been on board, been analyzing our operations and looking how we can be more efficient and effective in our service delivery and what we can do. And so pretty much from towards the end of March through pretty much middle of November, we're spending a good probably 70-75% of our time taking care of mowing, trimming, and blowing of our parks, which has limited our ability to do some of the things that the detail work that needs to get done, of fixing pavilions, painting things, doing repairs, ball field maintenance, those sort of things. So looking at that, looking within the confines of our current budget, we did have some vacancies of some employees in there, and we are looking to take that amount of money, those funds, to do some contract maintenance. We went out to bid at our preliminary pre-bid meeting. We had four contractors in attendance. Two ended up bidding on the project. The base bid was for 8 park locations, and we did an alternate bid for 12 more. We were lucky that we did receive a very favorable bid by the lowest bidder, Muni Green Care Professionals, and we are recommending that you consider and approve not only the base bid, but all alternatives. In doing so, this will reduce a lot of our mowing. It will not eliminate all of our mowing. We still have approximately about 7 other locations that we'll still be mowing on and taking care of on a weekly basis, but it will reduce the amount of time that we've been spending on that so that we can focus our attention on the deep work that is needed. If anybody has any questions, I'm here to answer.
Motherson.
Yes, sir. And Mayor, you moved back again, so your voice went out. but do you, and Mayor? I just wanted to first of all thank you, and also what I wanted to ask: do you want a motion on that, or before we discuss it, or do you want
to? I'd like to have a motion first. Thank you very much.
So moved.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Cusick. Mr. Cusick has definitely got the seconds down this evening.
All right. Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor Crowe. And also thank you, Mayor. Thank you, City Manager Rose, for moving this item. And Director Dunkel, I think that you've answered my question to a certain degree, because what I was concerned about and some of the things that I've seen in our parks is that we mow and then we leave grass all over the walkways. And that's happened specifically around Heeman Park. And that's not a good look for us, and not a good look for our citizens. So I just wanted to make sure that if we turn over this contract to a mowing service, that we are clear that there are three aspects that are standard practices nowadays, and that is mowing, trimming, and blowing. And that would be very important that's part of the services that they're providing. And I just wanted to be assured that that's where we're headed.
Councilmember, yes, indeed, that is part of our bid specifications. Not only are they supposed to mow, trim, and blow, they are to edge areas, they are to pick up any small trash, those sort of things, small limbs, anything, any type of debris before they mow. So all that is in the scope of work.
And that's just for the parks, is that correct?
Parks, and there are some public facilities such as the City Hall Complex and Epstein Plaza, that are part of this contract.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions regarding this item? Hearing none, you have a motion before you. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Can we move forward with the next item, Mr. Rose?
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, this next item asks that you consider a uniform services contract. I'm recommending approval of a cooperative purchasing agreement with Cintas. I would ask Mr. Dunkel to present this item.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Honorable Mayor, members of council. For the past several months, staff has been reviewing our current uniform service and what has been provided, what our needs are, those sort of things. In doing so, we have found that particularly in the parks maintenance and street and sanitation maintenance that we weren't really up to safety standards, as we need to provide classy, visible shirts, jackets, those sort of things when people are working in streets and right-of-ways. We are also looking to the allotment of the amount and the type of uniform staff are getting. And we also looked at what departments or divisions in the city were receiving uniforms and what divisions or departments weren't receiving uniforms. And we tried to look at our overall needs in fulfilling all of that. Also part of our past uniform contracts and services have been mats that you will see, you know, entry mats as you come in through doors, those sort of things, which has been part of the contract in the past. Looking at that and looking at costs, we were spending close to roughly $27,000 a year on mats and mat cleaning services. And we looked at that and talked about bringing that in-house. We feel that we can purchase the mats ourselves, and with the facility maintenance staff that we have on hand, we can do the cleaning ourselves as well, which saving us a substantial amount of money. And in doing so with that savings, we feel that we could upgrade our uniforms with going with the safety features that we needed for our maintenance staff, as well as adding in some uniforms for the golf course maintenance, looking at the facility maintenance crews, as well as for the planning inspectors. And we will still in the end save $2,000 to $3,000 a year from what we've currently been spending. So if anyone has any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
Colleague Mr. Smotherson, I'm going to say I need a motion for this, and he's on a roll, and I am not tonight. Is there a motion? I think Mr. Smotherson made the motion. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Clay. Is there discussion or questions? I believe that Mr. Smotherson gets the first bite of the apple, then Mr. Cusick.
Okay. Again, thank you, Mayor Crow, and also again, thank you, City Manager Rose, for moving this item, because the question I wanted to pose in front of the council with this contract with CentOS, and you know, because I'm very familiar with CentOS with some other employee things that I've done, would be, the question to the council is, would you be interested in a vest, a high visibility vest for, that says council? And the reason I say that, I'll tell you why. I've been in a situation, if you remember the MSD issue, and I was walking around passing out flyers, notifying a group of neighbors that about a meeting and letting them know what MSD was planning on doing. And I don't necessarily, I didn't feel comfortable, because I just look like anybody, any common person coming to your door to pass out information. And I think it would be helpful to council to have the access of a vest. High visibility vest that just simply says City Council of University City, and just something that identifies us right off the bat, that, you know, so that people know who we are in certain situations, and just to have that available to us. Another thing is that Councilmember Clay and I are considering going to neighbors around the development site that we just found out 2 weeks ago about in the Third Ward, and we want to notify neighbors, but I'd also like us to have a vest or something that identifies us so that people know who we are coming to their door, and that kind of, you know, lets them know right away who we are and what our intentions are. So just something to consider for the council, if that's something the city manager would consider in reference to the cost in this contract.
Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson, we could certainly accommodate the additional vest as a part of the purchase.
I think Tim, Mr. Cusick, did you have a question?
Yes, Mayor, I did. Thank you. Looking over this proposal for CentOS, I don't really see what, do we know what an estimate is going to be for the cost of this contract, monthly or annually?
Councilmember Cusick, yes, we do. Right now we're looking, our current contract, what we've been spending is roughly $66,000 a year. Contract, we are looking, you know, closer to $60,000. And there's a few categories in there on some rags that we use in fleet maintenance, which could boost it up a little. But so we're, all in all, we're probably looking at $62,000 a year.
Okay, I'm happy to hear that. And then CentOS is also a University City-based business, is it not?
You are correct.
So I'm always happy to see supporting businesses within our community. Thank you.
Else had a question. Does someone else have their hand? Seeing no one else with a question regarding this contract, you have the motion before you to approve the CentOS contract. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
The ayes have it. Thank you very much. We'll now move forward to the first quarter finance report. Mr. Rose.
Hello, Mayor and Council Members. I have Finance Director Keith Cole with us tonight to present to you the first quarter financial report. Mr. Cole.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Rose, Honorable Mayor and members of Council. I'm going to share my screen. Are you able to see that?
Yeah. There you go.
Okay. So can everyone see this then?
Yes.
Okay, so we're gonna start with the general fund fund. And we're gonna start with the total revenues. So overall, the year to date, the actual for the first quarter from July 1 to September 30th, total revenues is the $2.893 million, and that's roughly approximately $210,000 decrease from what it was in the first quarter of last year. So mainly the decrease is due to a result of the COVID-19 and with the happening to close of the recreational facilities and the closure of the municipal court. And then the reason why is to help, you know, avoid the spread of the COVID-19. But the offset of the decrease, it's an increase in charges for the municipal services of like the ambulance services. So we're very lucky to have the ambulance service back in-house to bring in, you know, additional revenues for the city. And then just to talk about the couple things on the property taxes. So the bulk of our property taxes come in December and January. So that's the reason why we're only showing $35,000, because the bulk of it comes in November, December, mainly this December and January. And then for the other piece to note, sales tax. So, you know, we were projecting, you know, less sales tax due to the COVID, but it turns out that, you know, some of the sales tax that's coming in have been higher than anticipated. So that's a good thing in that aspect. So, but overall, as you see, the revenues as a percentage, it's 12.5% of the budget. And then as compared to last year's actual percent of the budget is 12.6%. So we're pretty in line just compared to the prior year's revenue stream. And then if I scroll down to the expenditures, again, we're really close to, as a percent, we're at 20.3% of the budget compared to 20.8% of last year's budget at the same period of time. So we're very comparable in that aspect as well. And so we do have, you know, the decrease from the 4.9 million compared to the 5.1 million. You know, again, some of the decreases because we've closed the pool, the community center, and the Centennial Commons. So we had a reduction in part-time staff, which is all, again, related to COVID-19. But again, we're pretty well in line as compared to last quarter at the same time. And then I will move down to the next fund, and it's the fleet operations. So on The bulk of our revenue is comes in as a transfer in. So we've budgeted $1.2 million for this fiscal year, and it's mainly transfer in from the general fund and the solid waste fund. And that's just to help to support our internal service fund for the expenditures. And as you, the expenditures for this quarter, it's $246,000 compared to last quarter, $246,000. So again, we're very comparable as the expenditures in the fleet operations fund. And then for the next fund to review is the sewer lateral fund. So basically, our revenue stream is, you know, every household, every property in University City is assessed the $50, and that which is included in the property tax every year. So that is our revenue stream for this year. And again, you know, as it's only 7,000, again, the bulk of it's going to come in December and January. But again, we're very comparable as it was same period as of last year. And then with the expenditures, you know, again, the main expense is the sewer lateral fees to fix the pipes at the property owners. And again, we're very comparable, 12.3% for this year and 12.7 as last year. So we're, again, we're pretty well in, you know, comparable, nothing to be alarmed about with these expenditures. And then for the next fund is the solid waste fund. You know, as the percent of the adjusted budget, you know, we're right on line to how we were at as of 2019 or 2020 fiscal year for the first quarter, 43.2%. And that's just, you know, based on the revenue, the refuse fees that we're billing for each property owner. And for the expenditures, I mean, it's decreased roughly 8% compared to the same period from the first quarter of 2020. So that decreases, we got less, we've paid less for the waste dumping fees and some of the fleet service and replacement costs for the first quarter. And we will go to the next fund, which is the Economic Development Retail Sales Tax Fund. And our revenue stream here, again, it's based off the sales tax, and this sales tax, it's, you know, based on point of sale. So it's really, it's just based on the people who make purchases within the city limits. Again, we're down about $10,000 compared to what was last year, but again, we're at the sales tax, it just kind of fluctuates just from how the revenue, you know, how the sales tax is coming in from month to month. And again, you know, most of the decrease is just due to, you know, the businesses have been closed, you know, early in your part of the fiscal year, the summer months, and then into July and August. So that had some ramifications to it. So hopefully the COVID doesn't rise to where some of the businesses will have to close. So hopefully we will not get to that point. And then for the expenditures, it's increased roughly $43,000 compared to last year at the same time. But the increase is due to the small business assistance forgivable loan program that we've been helping out the helping out the businesses, and that is part of the capital outlay area, the fees. So that's part, that's mainly the increases from that, the Small Businesses Forgivable Loan Program. And move forward to the capital improvement. Again, the revenue stream from the sales tax, that, I mean, it's, you know, comparable, $242,000 to last year of $246,000. So it's just down just a little bit. But again, it fluctuates just due to both the sales tax, how it's coming in. And but the one thing to note for capital improvement sales tax, it's based on a per capita instead of the point of sale. The expenditures, it's decreased approximately $75,000. And that's, you know, we're kind of hesitant about holding up some of the construction projects just due to, you know, to see how the revenue stream is coming in due to the result of the COVID-19. But a lot of the construction projects will be kicking back up and after the first of the year.
Mr. Cole, for some of the smaller funds, if you would just hit the highlights, I think that the mayor and council will be able to review the documents and tell what's happening within the fund.
Okay. The park and stormwater sales tax fund, again, that the highlights, it's based on the sales tax, and the park and stormwater sales tax, that's based on point of sale. And it's, again, it's, you know, somewhat comparable to what it was last year. It's decreased, but again, it's just due to the COVID. And let's see, we increase here. It's, you know, we made some purchases, equipment purchases for some of the vehicles, but overall, you know, that we're in line with for this quarter for this fund. Public safety sales tax. This, again, the revenue streams for the sales tax, and in this one, the sales tax is based on the per capita. And it, I mean, we're in line with how it's comparable to last year, the 195,000 compared to 202. And the public safety, the decrease here, it's last quarter, the highlight in the first quarter, you know, we purchased two ambulances and some equipment. So this quarter decrease roughly $313,000, because we, you know, there's no need to buy any ambulances or equipment for this quarter. So that is plus there, so we're good there. The grants fund. The grants fund, that's just based on the grants that we get, that we applied for through the federal, the state, local match. This grant here, we received a check for the Municipal Park Commission, a check for $525,000. So we received that in this fiscal year. But again, the grant fund, it's based on, we get the revenue and then it's a reimbursable grant system. We get the revenue and then it's offset by the expenditures. And we haven't had any expenditures for this quarter. And again, a lot of the grants is for construction projects and the parks and stuff, and those type of construction projects. The parking garage is based on the parking garage in the loop, and the highlights here, there's a decrease here in the parking revenue because of the COVID, and I think believe the parking garage was closed for a while, so we, you know, lost some little, you know, revenue there from being closed, and we've hadn't had the expenditures that we needed for this quarter.
Mr. Cole, if I could just interject, the revenues are down due to the, we're not charging those occupants, those people that typically lease space from the parking garage, those businesses, due to COVID, in an effort to try and provide them with a little bit of assistance there. I'm looking towards the first of the year when we will begin to charge them for those spaces. And that's contingent upon what happens within the economy within the next couple of months.
And then the golf course fund, we've had the revenue stream. It's increased of roughly 45,000. And even with the COVID, we've had an increase in golfers to come out and play. And I mean, it's with the nice weather that we've had, which is a positive sign that good thing that we had good weather to bring out the golfers to play golf and help the revenue bring it in. And it's, again, I mean, the expenditures, overall expenditures were, nothing's kind of online. We're just kind of comparable to how it was in last year. So, and then the next, the pension funds, I mean, you can review. And if you have additional questions on that, that's, you can always ask. And then the other one is the library fund. And then again, if you have additional questions, I'm open to hear anything.
Rose, per protocol, I don't believe there's a vote that needs to be taken. This is simply just information for my colleagues. Am I correct?
That's correct. That's correct.
Can't hear you, Mayor.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Cole, can you move back? Thank you. Thank you. Are there questions of Mr. Cole or the city manager? Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Cole or Mr. Rose, I don't know who can answer this. At the very beginning, it says general fund. It says revenues have decreased approximately $210,700 compared to the same quarter of FY 2020. What percentage of this is, can you quantify what percentage is the losses from sales tax versus fees for a variety of different things we would charge? Whereas, is this a simple question that you could answer, or is it much more complex because of all of the other funds that are involved?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Cusick, we can provide you with the documentation that shows the different amounts of revenues that are collected. Primarily, though, what we're seeing is a reduction in sales tax. It's not as severe as what we had initially forecast. At least, let me say at this point, we still don't know how it will look over the period of the entire year. But that's, I believe, where you're seeing the dip. Mr. Cole, is that accurate?
That's correct.
So is it this $210,000, just this decrease in revenues for this quarter, is it safe to extrapolate that for a total of four quarters, and that we could be looking at just a loss of about $800,000 for the fiscal year, or do you just not want to make that kind of a guesstimate at this point?
Hesitant to say what impact there will be because we're not sure what the national strategy for COVID is going to be. If they continue to let businesses remain open and operating, if that's a very different scenario than if they decide to have a shutdown.
Thank you very much.
Questions? Any other questions from members of council? I have a couple of questions, but I think they're more placekeepers. If I could just give them to the city manager as we go through these programs over time, it just brings up questions as to items that we probably need to at least circle back on. And some time ago, I believe there was a sewer lateral insurance program that went out. And I know it's not necessarily our program, but do we have any way of determining how many citizens participated in it, chose to buy the insurance? I mean, I think for all of us, that would probably be information that we may want to see. And then I noticed on the golf course revenues that they were up substantially, which is intriguing. Since I live closer to the Flynn Park tennis courts, I guess I would ask, do we know what's happening with those particular courts, in that we seem to have a number of pros that are teaching lessons, and we have an awful lot of demand on those courts, and we seem to have some very frustrated taxpayers who are not able to get on the courts because the tennis pros, who are not University City folks, are charging for lessons and are not letting people on the courts. So a couple of things I would ask, just, you know, what we're doing there. Then secondly, the only thing because I'm the old timer here, we used to have rules that were posted at Flynn Park. I know for sure. I'm not sure about the Heiman courts and about the Kauffman courts, but we had a whole set of rules of things that you needed to follow, including just the etiquette. And I think most tennis players will follow the etiquette. But as I recall, those way before your time, those rules got taken down. And I just am trying to figure out if I can reduce the number of people who are complaining to me about waiting for tennis courts at Flynn Park, that would be a good thing.
Mayor, we have the director of our parks with us still, Darren Dunkel. I know that this issue has risen before, and I believe we have taken some efforts to try and mitigate that. But Mr. Dunkel,
I don't intend to put anybody on the spot tonight. Well, not at all. I just want you to know that it'd be really good if we could come up with some solution here, whether it's a revenue enhancement for the people who are charging lessons, or whether it is getting those folks off the court so the people who are paying for them, the taxpayers, get to use them.
I believe we're pursuing the latter strategy, but I will just confirm that with Mr. Dunkel later on.
That was not my intent to put Darren on the spot at all. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to, while I was thinking about that. Are there other questions? I know also, and Mr. Rosen, I think all my colleagues know this, but you may want to reiterate the award that Keith and our finance department got. So congratulations to them.
Yes, Romero, council members, finance department received the GFOA, Government Financial Officers Association award for the 2020 budget. So that's something that certainly Keith and his staff should be very proud of. It's very difficult to get, so they did a lot of work in order for the city to receive it this year.
Kudos, Keith, and to your staff, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I believe we now can move on into unfinished business. We have bill number 9412. May we have the second reading?
An ordinance amending section 400.070 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City, Missouri, relating to the official zoning map, by amending said map so as to change the classification of multiple properties from general commercial, single family residential, medium density residential, and high density residential office to planned development, mixed use district, and establishing permitted land uses and developments therein, containing a savings clause and providing a penalty.
And we have the third reading.
An ordinance amending section 400.070 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City, Missouri, relating to the official zoning map, by amending said map so as to change the classifications of multiple properties from general commercial, single family residential, medium density residential, and high density residential office to planned development, mixed use district, and establishing permitted land uses and developments therein, containing a savings clause and providing a penalty.
Thank you very much, Ms. Reese. Is there a motion to approve? Motion to approve by Mr. Smotherson, seconded by Mr. Cusick. Is there discussion? Hearing no discussion from members of council, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Klein.
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon.
Mr. McMahon. I believe his screen is frozen.
Aye.
Well, there it was.
He said aye.
Heard the aye.
Aye.
Aye. Councilmember Hales?
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick?
There you go.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Councilmember Clay?
Aye.
Mayor Crow?
Aye. Thank you very much. We'll now move to new business, resolutions number 2020-15. Is there a motion to approve? Motion by Ms. Klein. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Clay. Is there a discussion? Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council members, I believe that Mr. Cross has information to present to you that expands upon our recommendation on this item. Mr. Cross.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Rose. Honorable Mayor, members of Council, good evening. Mr. Rose is correct. And with this request, obviously, y'all know the process. You have two formal actions that you take. One is the adoption of the ordinance to assign the underlying PDM zoning classification, which you just did. Throughout this process, though, there's been a series of neighborhood meetings that I know Council Member McMahon and Council Member Hales have worked on and coordinated to obtain the concerns of some of the neighbors of the development. And in looking at this, there's you have several things that often come out, you know, that come out of those concerns in those meetings. But the three primary things that we were getting out of this included, the first one we all know is a concern with the density, and I'm going to touch on the density here in a minute. The other one was a concern about the coffee shop and what happens if it goes away. Can there be a fast food restaurant in its place? And ironically, you in a sense already addressed that by the adoption of the ordinance. And specifically, when you look at the last sentence of that ordinance, of the introduction that Ms. Reese read in, it talks about the PDM, and then it clearly says, and establishing permitted land uses and developments therein, containing a savings clause and providing a penalty. So in a sense, what you did is when you adopted the PDM, you then within that ordinance adopted the parking lot, the multifamily development, and a restaurant. But with the restaurant is defined. And in our zoning ordinance, restaurants are different than fast food restaurants. So if there was a change in that restaurant, it would be very similar, the donut shop, it would have to be very similar to what's already there. So you in a sense already addressed that issue. Some of the other concerns that came out was included some issues with the entry points and the fire escapes that came in, and these came from the conversations in the neighborhood meetings, and it was primarily around construction and restricting the hours of operation. As you know, our ordinance sets hours of operation, but they can go pretty late. So the neighbors were concerned with the construction. So there were four conditions that were touched on. The first one was to restrict all construction traffic, parking, and access to the construction site within the Dale Price neighborhood streets of Kingdale, Washington, Barbie, Teasdale, and West Kingsbury. There was also a request to limit the construction hours, including staging. And the preference was to have that earlier than the allowed 10 p.m. Although, you know, standard, most contractors work between 7 and 4, I did get a response from the developer indicating that they would be agreeable to reducing the construction hours, that the evening limit can be earlier or preference is 7 p.m. So in other words, they want to be able to work until 7 p.m. And then they did want a stipulation that permission could be granted by the city should a limited need occur as required by the construction conditions. There was also a request concerning dog bags that came up, and they are agreeable to having dog bag stations and signage at the Kingdale exits of Avenir, and they were in agreement with that. And then there was another one about the restaurant, which I think I answered that you already addressed it within the ordinance. So those were some of the additional conditions that came in. In addition, the developer also suggested some additional conditions. One would be the rules and regulations that are attached to the standard resident apartment lease, that they would include that no parking would be allowed on the east side of Kingdale Drive. They also indicated that their lease would show that no guest access from Kingdale Drive to the courtyard or to the building through the fire exits. So basically they would limit any access through the fire exits. They also indicated they were agreeable to no commercial hood will be allowed in the building common areas except low volume hoods that would be allowed in the resident party rooms to accommodate limited cooking for social gatherings. They also indicate they were agreeable that all light produced by the exterior lighting to remain within the property lines, which we would have watched closely as well, but that, I think that's an additional condition that would be great within the resolution. They also addressed the concern with trees along Kingdale Drive. They indicate that they are agreeable that all existing trees currently upon the east curb line of Kingdale Drive shall be protected during the construction. We would enforce that as well through best management practices in the permitting process, but that's an additional condition that would be a good addition to put in the resolution. They also indicate they were willing to, in the setback along Kingdale Drive, that they would lushly landscape it, and according to a landscape plan to be approved by the city forester. As you know, that condition, even though if you approve it in there, it's still something that has to be approved prior to the final plan approval that could come back to you at a later date. And then the final one is they addressed the street trees currently along Delmar, that they indicated they were agreeable to protect them during construction unless permission is granted by St. Louis County Department of Transportation to remove them. And if that is required, they will be replaced with 2-inch caliber trees in the amount and species per as approved by the city forester. So they're agreeable to having our city forester review all work associated with the trees and ensure they are in compliance with our codes and meet these conditions. The last item was the density. And I think what individuals were looking for is, are they comparable in their density to the current underlying zoning district? So I touched on this with the neighborhood group. So the purpose of a planned development, any PUD, has always been to accommodate unique developments, address transition of density rights. And you see a lot of them in areas where there's a lot of issues with building. I think Florida is a classic example. If you have a 20-acre site, 5 of it may only be buildable because of the wetlands and so forth. So what staff has done here, staff evaluated, and you guys were provided a memo today, staff evaluated the 3 residential zoning districts within this project area. And that included the HRO, which is a high density residential office district, which is probably our most intense residential zoning district. The MR, which is a medium density residential district, which is primarily those lots located along Delmar, and then the remaining single family lots. So what staff did is we did an analysis of the HRO district, which consisted of roughly 95,238 square feet. In taking the density calculation requirements of the 500 square feet per unit, we came in where there would roughly, just in that site alone, there could potentially be 190.47 units within that area alone if there was no change in the zoning, if they just came in and sought site plan approval within that district, that would be the number.
Mr. Cole, I know that you did an analysis that determined what was the maximum amount of density and then where that was compared to what they were asking the question.
Okay, so just to summarize it, they have the analysis. So if you took those 3 residential underlying zoning districts and built them per the density codes, you could roughly have 266 units on those sites alone, which would equal approximately 49 units per acre. On the flip side, when you take the total development as a planned development, and this includes the 15% reduction, which in a sense is a multiplier, that equaled roughly 251,951 square feet, 5.78 acres. You could have a density count of roughly 44.63 units per acre. So the density based on that with this development is actually less than what it would be if they developed on the current underlying zoning. So obviously that's not the final factor, but staff's task was to ensure that there wasn't a camouflaged plan development zoning request to somehow slide in higher density than what would be there. Ultimately, I mean, the decision is on density, on the whether it would have a negative impact on the neighboring properties. But if you look at the ordinance as it is, the density is relatively similar to what it would be if they came in and just did site plans or individual developments on the various sites throughout the site. So I hope that clarified it, and I will be happy to answer any questions.
So Mayor and Council, just to be clear, we're recommending approval of the preliminary plan with the addition of the conditions mm-hmm. that have been agreed to, which Director Cross just read into the record.
Anything else?
And do we need a motion to formally include those, or are those included with what we're considering right now?
I would defer to our city attorney.
Well, the code states that approval of a preliminary development plan is merely an authorization to proceed with the preparation of the final development plan. So I think if the council approves the preliminary development plan with the additional conditions that Mr. Cross read into the record, the final development plan should incorporate those additions that Mr. Cross read. Those additions are not inconsistent with other parts of the preliminary development plan, and simply supplement it. So I don't think you need any formal incorporation in the preliminary development plan other than the motion to approve with the conditions that Mr. Cross just stated the developer agreed to.
So no motion is necessary, but colleagues, do you have questions either for Mr. Rose, Mr. Cross, or Mr. Mulligan? Mr. Hales.
Not so much a question, but if you're asking for this now, I just want to thank Mr. Rose and Mr. Cross for incorporating a number of the items that we discussed. Actually, everything that that Steve and I had requested as conditions. I also just want to say, I don't know that I can recall a discussion about a 7 p.m. cutoff time. I think that's a considerable improvement to this project. The one question I had to Mr. Cross, the landscape plan, I know it goes to the city forester. Does it go to the plan commission as part of the final development plan?
Yes, it will go to the planning commission as part of that final review, which there are certain things that will come, you know, because once you approve the preliminary, then they go do the legwork. They start to put the rubber to the road, so to speak. So, yes, all those will come back to the Planning Commission for their review to confirm that what is presented as part of that final plan is consistent with what the vision was of the preliminary plan.
Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Reese, I believe we already have a motion and a second. Am I correct?
That is correct, yeah.
It is correct?
That is correct, yes.
Thank you. Are there other questions or comments to be made by members of council at this time? I think that the, particularly to my two First Ward colleagues who have made outreach to a number of citizens and had dialogue, I appreciate that. I think the citizens do as well, to the staff as well for their work. Hopefully, as we move through this process, if this development does move forward, we will all be able to continue the dialogue with the community and make sure that we are meeting their needs as this development moves forward. Are there any other questions or comments by members of council? Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor, Council Members, I just want to be clear that the motion did include the addition of the conditions.
Okay. The motion was made, Ms. Reese, by, who's the original motion made by?
Councilmember Klein.
And then seconded by?
Councilmember Clay.
Ms. Klein and Mr. Clay, would you agree to the that your original motion be inclusive of all the terms listed by Mr. Cross?
Yes.
Yes. Mr. Mulligan, do I need another vote on that if we really went through the process? I'm happy to have an amendment if that's what people would like to have.
Sure. Belts and suspenders, you can
yeah. Well, let's just do it that way. A number of comments, another of clauses have been listed by Mr. Cross that can be delineated as an amendment to this motion. Is there such an amendment made?
So moved.
Made by Mr. Hales. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Clay. Those in favor of the amendment to the motion, please signify by saying aye.
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 Ayes have it. Now we have the resolution as amended. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. The resolution has passed. We'll now move forward to council reports and business. Are there any items that council members would like to bring forth as part of this part of the agenda?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Kuzik.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I would just like to give an update. The recently formed Commission on Stormwater Issues has been meeting regularly, and they are about ready to launch an early warning system so that we can give our residents notice if there is going to be a flood issue or incident or overwater, overland use or road, high water on roads. We're hoping to have that system in place by the end of the year and tested. And in the future, we're going to be putting out the word on and coming up with a method for being able to alert residents in a timely fashion. The Commission on Stormwater Issues has been able to document many of the floods in the past, as well as a method to make those determinations. At this point, again, we don't know how we will disseminate information quickly to residents, but that we're working on that. But I do want to put the word out that the Commission on Stormwater Issues is going to be asking for documentation from the community, from people that live throughout the flood areas. If they have any types of photos or videos of past flooded events, we're going to be asking for those. And again, this may be a little preliminary, but and I don't know how we will ask for people to submit those things. But if people are listening and they have any kind of documentation, we will be asking for that in the very near future so that we can start a comprehensive library and storage for that type of information. Thank you.
Anyone else? I'll be very brief with the two I have for the street naming task force. I will tell you that our chair, Susan Armstrong, is moving this group along very quickly, and we continue to solicit citizen input. I will tell you that all of the task force members have truly taken their charge very seriously and are working street by street. I also, in particular, I do want to commend S. Lee Hamilton, who is a walking dictionary of the history of every street, I believe, in University City. We intend to have an initial report to the council right around year end, and then we'll see what happens next with that. I also want to briefly just touch upon a couple of the citizen comments that were made regarding the conflict of interest ordinance that was passed at our last council meeting. A couple of things I would just like to clarify, and that would be number one. Both under Missouri law and under the University City Charter, council members are not defined as employees. I do want to address that because I think that's kind of been something that has been lingering out there. But I also believe, and I believe that my colleagues probably agree with me on this, that if there is any concern about conflict of interest regarding family members or spouses, whatever the case may be, of council members as well, I think we owe it to ourselves to address that. And my thumbnail sketch of this is that we may have two spouses or family members that may be serving as volunteers on commissions. And I will be making outreach to both of those family members and see if they are willing to resign, because I believe a resignation is much more appropriate than us needing to send a letter to a volunteer. And I believe then, instead of amending the ordinance to include council members, what I would suggest that we as a body do is that we ask Ms. Reese to, if we will, put this on the list of things that we should change in our council rules, so that we can change our council rules to address the fact that it would be appropriate for us to have the same conflict of interest apply to spouses and family members of council members. So we could take care of it now, both by me asking a couple of folks to resign, and then secondly, we can address it in our council rules. I'm throwing this out there more not for a conversation tonight, but I think that's a good pathway forward for us to address citizen concerns and then just move forward with this issue. So are there other items to bring up under council reports and business? If not, we will move to council comments. Are there council comments to be made by any of my colleagues this evening? Mr. Hales.
Thank you, Mayor. I just, again, want to thank Mr. Rose, Mr. Cross, Steve. I know he, I'm sure, shares in the thanks to both of them and to all of our colleagues in kind of bearing with us to work through some of these issues with the residents in the Del Price neighborhood. Specifically to Mr. Cross, who spent the better part of 5 hours over two meetings in the last 2 weeks. That it was extremely helpful. It was above and beyond. And I sincerely, sincerely appreciate your time and efforts on that. Lastly, and I actually mentioned this in one of the resident meetings out west, we do continue, as does our neighbors in Clayton, as does our neighbors out west in Olivet and to the north, we have continual issues with these crimes of opportunities and leaving your door unlocked. And it was actually election night in my neighborhood. Car alarm went off. I popped out of bed and I saw somebody running from the car across the street. And I'm sure that our police department would tell everybody, if something like that happens at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m, a car alarm goes off, please, please, please call the police. Because chances are there's more than one person working your neighborhood. And that night also I had the opportunity when the police arrived to meet our newest police canine and his handler. Ghost was the canine, and I apologize for not recalling the officer's name. And it was really remarkable to see how all of the officers responded. They kind of fanned out through the neighborhood. And the canine, just to watch that dog track the scent, unfortunately the scent was lost, but they got here very, very quickly. But if you hear a car alarm in the middle of the night, please, please, please call the police. They will get to you as quickly as possible. And I think that was, that's often very, very quickly. They did an absolutely terrific job. And when it happens in the middle of the night, there's nothing good happening. One last point, if you have cameras, Ring doorbells, please register them with the police so that they can pull up that registry and know where to look for potential footage of folks. So that's very helpful also. That's all, thank you very much.
Any other comments from members of council? Ms. Klein.
I just wanted to take a minute to recognize the administrators and the teachers in the school district who brought some of the kids back to school today. And I have a daughter that just started Brittany Woods, and I was just really impressed with how smoothly and how great a job they did. There were lots of teachers and administrators lined up outside welcoming everybody. And it was just very encouraging to see this effort.
What else? Mr. Kusick.
Thank you, Mayor. I guess this is a question for the city manager. I've been contacted by a resident that has a home-based business, and the resident was concerned that people that operate home-based businesses thus far have not been eligible for any of the forgivable loan EDRST funds. And if the city manager could comment on that, because I understand that we actually have about 70 registered home-based businesses that have business licenses in throughout University City. And I have had some discussion with Mr. Rose, but if I could ask him to comment on that, please.
By the way, it is okay for Mr. Rose to comment, but we need to not push these towards Senate Council comments, but back towards the council reports and business if we can. Otherwise, council comments are really not a Q&A for the city manager. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Kosick, yes, we are currently exploring a round four where we would recommend expansion of the EDRST eligibility requirements to include certain home-based businesses. And looks like we're going to, even after round three, have additional funding remaining, so that will provide the mayor and council with an opportunity to expand your policy if you believe appropriate.
Thank you.
That was an interesting letter from the email from the citizen. You think about his business and how it's definitely changed throughout this entire COVID crisis, and how all of the factors, both locally and internationally, have impacted his business. It really was kind of a microcosm of what people are going through in the business community at this time.
It was, yes, sir.
Any other comments before we close out? I do want to just take a moment to all of our residents and say thank you for participating in what had to be a momentous point in our country's history, when you have the largest voter turnout in an election since 1900 and something, the early 1900s. The number of people who participated was absolutely incredible. We look forward to moving forward as a country, but the fact that that many people came out and chose to, number one, put themselves at risk or to participate in the process, shows that there was truly an engaged electorate in caring about our country and how we address the issues at hand and lead our country forward. So with that, I would welcome a motion that we go into closed session according to Missouri Revised Statute 610.021, legal actions, causes of actions, or litigation involving a governmental body and any confidential or privileged communication between a governmental body and its representatives or attorney. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smotherson, seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember McMahon.
Aye.
Councilmember Hales.
Aye.
Councilmember Kusick.
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Aye.
Councilmember Clay.
Aye.
Councilmember Klein. Mayor Crowe.
Aye. The ayes have it. We will move into closed session if we give ourselves just a couple of minutes before we go into the public. Thank you very much for joining us. Everyone have a nice evening.
Thank you.